Hello everyone, welcome back to Journey Through Music, and Happy New Year. It's now fucking 2024, so yeah, I'm doing a podcast about 2023 and 2024. I'm your host Craig Lane, or DJ Tripwire, whatever you want to call me. Watch it, don't get any ideas for that one. Yeah, and we're going to do part two of the Billboard Top 100 year-end chart thingy, because... Sorry, I just decided to go touch some grass, so now I'm exhausted. Ha, that's a joke. No, but the part one, what I did, I actually realized this is partially not only making up for my inaccuracies on that one, which actually was an accurate list. It was the Billboard Top 100 as of December 30th, but I thought because of the remaining days, they weren't going to update the charts. I thought that was the year-end charts, but no, that I looked up on billboard.com, and then, yeah, there's a year-end charts, and it's a little bit different. So we're actually going to talk about that a little bit. My disappointment still continues with the fucking charts, but it's a little bit different. So let me crack open a cold one here. A cold Coca-Cola, not what you might think. And, yeah, let's get into this. So, the year-end charts, the top three that they actually put on here for 2023 was number one, Last Night by Morgan Wallen. Now, this country singer, I never heard of him before. I didn't really catch up with any of his story or that, but his music that he produces is really, really good, I think. Pretty good, and I usually don't listen to a lot of country, really, at all, but... If it's one of those days where it's like, hey, I just want to listen to something different, I'll listen to some country. And Morgan Wallen really set some standards for country music. I really like that. I actually haven't heard the song Last Night. I think it was... I forget what the songs I listened to, but those were also really, really good. Number two, they put Flowers by Miley Cyrus in there. And I'm like... From the last chart that we went over, I don't think Miley Cyrus was on there, if not. Actually, I think she was, but she was way further down on that one. I'm like, I'm surprised that comes up on the year-end charts. That wasn't a bad song. I actually liked it. I don't like Miley Cyrus really at all, even as a person, really. I mean, that one's my opinion. There's nothing wrong with her. She had a very interesting career. Onto that song was actually pretty darn good, and unfortunately that was the only really good song on her album, but it stood out even to me. Number three, they put ZA, or SZA, however the fuck you want to pronounce this one, with Kill Bill in there. If you want to listen to part one of this, I absolutely dunked on ZA. I'm gonna call her ZA, and I still will. I don't think that this music was any good at all, and really not deserving of year-end chart at all, really. It was pretty bad. I even did a re-listen to most of the music by this artist before doing both of these videos, and my thoughts still stand. My opinions do stand, and then I looked back at it objectively, and it wasn't enough to change my opinion on there. It's still pretty bad. So now we're going to talk a little bit about the year-end charts top 100 songs, and then we'll get into some of the artists as well. This is going to be slightly different from this. I do have the list of all 100. We're going to briefly go over one. I know last one we've only focused on like 30 of the artists. This one we'll briefly go over 100, but I'm not going to go number 1 to 100, but I will give you some rankings of ones, at least that I've heard, or ones that stand out to me. So, Last Night, number one, Morgan Allen, Flowers by Miley Cyrus is two, Kill Bill by ZA is number three, Anti-Hero by Taylor Swift is number four. If you listen to part one, you knew that Taylor Swift was number one last time on that chart, but the year-end charts, it only ranked number four on that. That's actually quite surprising. On to that one, number five, Creepin' by the 20 by The Weeknd and 21. Okay. Interesting. Calm Down, Rima and Selena Gomez. I don't think that I've heard that song. Maybe I did, and then I thought that's just average. I did not expect that to be a chart topper. So I'm surprised at that one, not in a great way. I'm kind of disappointed in that one. Die For You, The Weeknd and Ariana Grande, that remix at number 7. That's an appropriate placement for that, unlike the last chart that we topped out. That's really good. That was a really good song. I loved that one. Fast Car, Luke Combs, pretty much anything by Luke Combs, pretty darn good. Za also on number 9. We're not going to talk about that. Number 10. I actually forgot about this song because I thought it was a 2022 song, not a 2023. I'm Good, which was a take on Blue from, I forget the original artist all the way, that one. But David Guetta and Bebe Rexha on that one. Basically a pop EDM mix. Actually, it's more of an EDM chart, actually. And Bebe Rexha just did vocals to that, right? If you're a fan of EDM like I am, that was a bad song at all. I would say that it's a typical thing, but you got two artists there who I really like because they do really great works of music and that. In my opinion, David Guetta, at least right now, is the GOAT of EDM. I can back that up. And I'm Good is another one of those examples. I think there were some better examples where David Guetta had some good tracks, but yeah. And same thing goes for Bebe Rexha as well. There were some better tracks on that as well, but this was a really good, what I call a feel-good song. I have nothing objectively against the song saying, besides the fact saying that there could have been more added to it, and that applies to basically any song, right? Because that goes into my realm of writing where I try to expand upon everything that's already there, right? Because by mindset, everything that's already there isn't enough, so I try to add that extra layer to it. But at the base level, I'm Good is really, really good. So that's number 10. They're Unholy by Sam Smith and Kim Petras. That was an earlier 2023 chart topper. That's a really, really good one, I think. I was surprised that I see it here because I didn't see it on the other chart on there. And it just came back and topped on the year-end charts, and that's something great, right? And then you have another Morgan Wallen. You have fucking Drake on here, which 14, all right, that's better than the last one where it was like number 4. As it was, Harry Styles, in my opinion, Harry Styles has fallen off, but all right, we're going to leave it there. Chris Brown, wait, what the hell? This is the first time I see Chris Brown under the influence. Chris Brown, wow, Chris Brown is actually back in 2023. All right. Cruel Summer, only ranks number 18 by Taylor Swift. I actually really, really like this song. This is probably my favorite Taylor Swift song. All of them, right? I have a lot. I'm not a big fan of Taylor Swift really at all. But if I do listen to her music, there's a few that I actually listen to. And Cruel Summer is on my on repeat playlist on Spotify, like that one that it auto generates. These are the songs that you listen to like over and over, usually on loop or something, and Cruel Summer made its way on there, and I have to listen to it a ton to really get it onto that list. That was a really, really good one. More Morgan Wallen taking up number 19 and 22 spot on here. Batch of artists I haven't heard of that are on here that actually, there are a couple on here I'm not going to bench, but just aren't good. Karma by Taylor Swift featuring Ice Spice, number 27. Really, not only number 30 is Olivia Rodrigo's Vampire. And that song, I thought, was like a blow-up because Olivia Rodrigo basically, this was the next phase after Sour. And I think Vampire for that one, if I remember correctly, that literally like blew up Spotify or something. Like you couldn't access Spotify or some shit like that over that one because everybody was streaming this album and that song. And I'm surprised to see it at number 30 here. She's under number 29 of Beyonce, who hasn't hit a chart topper in quite a while, and number 29 with Cuff It. So that is quite surprising that that song did not... In my opinion, when you're down at number below, like number 15, I don't think that you put in enough effort to really keep that song that well, right? Some of these you do have tight competition, but I'm looking at some of the artists, and to put Olivia Rodrigo below some of these is actually very, very surprising. Right, so I'm wondering what happened there. Because number 30, basically we're at number 30, below these. And now there are some respectable placements, right? This is why I'm not completely dissing the placement, but I'm also dissing the placement at the same time, right? Because number 30, that's awful. You want to be a great artist, be in the top 10 all the time, right? But there was some tough competition with some of these. But the placement of these in the year-end charts, like being behind Beyonce and stuff, which that wasn't a good song, by the way. And behind like Little Dirk and all of these other artists that just aren't that great. I just wonder what was going on there. And unfortunately, without really knowing so much as to how some of this stuff works, I had no judge but to think, was... Vampire really that successful? I would say yes, but this is the surprising thing, because the chart, if you look at the charts at the numbers alone here, it would say that Vampire was not successful. I thought that it was. So this is the one where I'm actually at a bit of a conflict, because I really don't know. Was she actually worse than these artists? If you take an actual look at it, which I think Billboard Top 100, while part of it is a popularity contest, it probably always will be. But if you look at it from that, and I'm basically saying the standards are the Billboard 100, 30, place number 30 is not good, right? But I'm going to cut Olivia Rodrigo a little bit of slack there and just say that is surprising. Players by Coi Leray, that song also blew out. That's only on number 33. I actually like that song. Coi Leray didn't really have that great tracks, but I like that one. I'm wondering if I want to do a video on this one, because I also had some issue with this one, because this is one, not that I'd say I have an issues, but it's really eye-opening to the media now. And I don't know if this was impacted by like Gen Z. It seems like, because Players One Players as a song, and especially Coi Leray herself, is one that doesn't hold back when it comes to expressing yourself, especially if you know what I mean, in that one. And quite honestly, I was surprised at, now I'm not saying that it needed, but I was surprised at the lack of censorship at some of this. Like, this was a song that it's like, you have this type of themes and it's okay to do this, right? Like, she almost, there were some cursing, there were some suggestive things done, even in the live performance when Coi Leray did this on like Jimmy Kimmel Live, right? If you also remember last year's Super Bowl with that, there was also some suggestive acts by Rihanna with that, right? I don't think we need to bring that up. Now, I'm not saying that it was like a crime or anything, but it was definitely suggestive act being like broadcasted on national television, right? Coi Leray did about the same type of thing with the theme on that, and I'm like, they did their best to try to censor it, but I'm like, I'm surprised that the general broadcaster, with how they censor things, actually allowed even that song to be played, because they usually censor even songs that have themes like that, right? Or they play a whole different alternative version on that one. They just censored out, or like just bleeped out or took out the words when Coi Leray said something, the words, or did that. It was still something, the action, like in her dancing, basically, is what I'm referring to. And that one that I'm surprised they allowed, but hey, very, very interesting. So That is eye-opening, and I feel like that is the take on modern music now, that they are lifting some of those restrictions due to expressing yourself a little bit differently. But I still think there's a line. Like, I would be embarrassed to try to. Now, I wouldn't be embarrassed as in, like, I would want to give up music or all that, but I would have some regrets after doing some sort of performance and a theme like that. Like, if I talk to my parents, it would be like, yeah, and then on national television, like, you give a performance where you're touching yourself a little bit. Onto that. Now, there wasn't anything egregious with that one. There was actually something way more egregious with Rihanna's Super Bowl halftime performance as far as touching goes. But still, Coi Leray didn't really hold back with that, and there was still the theme on that. I would be embarrassed to play that in front of my parents, honestly. I don't mind the curse word. That's fine, right? If you're an adult with that's fine. But those type of themes are a little bit, right? But I know what the media is and how this generation of society is, and they would pawn it off as self-expression and all that. I'm not gonna get into the middle of that. I don't think that's the right move. Am I saying they should censor it? Probably on that. I don't mind the words of maybe the themes. I am still surprised that they allow that, but when it comes to those type of dances and stuff, they allowed that, and I'm like, okay, right. But you could also argue there was no other way to express that through an entertaining performance. So that's all I wanted to say on that one. But also, number 35, "Dance Tonight" by Dua Lipa. I'm surprised it's still way down here. That is like a top 10 chart topper song. If you look at it. And I'm just surprised at the year end that it came. The problem is, I think a lot of these songs were so early in 2023 and they stuck throughout the year that even stuff mid-year, like June timeframe when Barbie came out and Dance Tonight was part of that soundtrack, or at least in the summer. Was it June, July that Barbie came out? Oh my God. Also, it's like January and it feels like it came out last month. But mid, like June area, that was it. If you're looking at which artists are rising right now or on these charts, that is late. That is late 2023 for some of these artists in that. So I'm not surprised. This is going to say that timing does matter, really. I'm in a competitive. I think quality should be over that. Like, I think if you produced a track like 10 years ago, I mean, it still could be so good that it could chop the charts today and win you a Grammy. Unfortunately, that's not how the Grammys work. Right? Because you can't. Something from 10 years ago can't win a Grammy unless if you re-release it or something on that. But we're not gonna really talk about that. There's nothing really else popping out until we reach to number 44, which I forgot. I didn't think that this was a new song until I looked at it after hearing it in like TikToks and stuff. Cupid by 5050. I actually kind of like that song for a K-pop thing. It felt way more non-K-pop-ish, if you know what I mean. It felt more mainstream, like US pop type of thing, than an actual K-pop song. But it's a K-pop song. But Cupid by 5050. I'm not surprised that that's on the charts here, but I actually thought that would have been. I would have preferred that to be a little bit higher, but I'm surprised that it's not lower, honestly. It was popular at some points, and then it fell off a little bit, and then resurged, and I'm like, okay. Drake still on this fucking charts. We're not going to talk about that. Onto that one, Barbie World, Nicki Minaj and Ice Spice with Aqua. Not horrible, not a great track, but onto that. We're all at number 52. You remember the last chart that we did, if you listened to part one of this, and Paint the Town Red by Doja Cat was a little bit higher than what it is right now. It's at 52, right? And I mentioned the drama of what happened with Doja Cat and that stuff, and I still think that affected the year-end charts, right? Because she's still all the way down in fucking 52, and it's unlike Doja Cat to be way down here in the rankings. So, right. Made you look, Meghan Trainor is on here? What the fuck? Okay. Number 55, All I Want for Christmas Is You, Mariah Carey. Last one that we checked, I know it's December 30th, Mariah Carey was number 6. I expected that. Christmas chart, and I expect Christmas charts to top for a week, but to have Christmas charts on the Billboard 100 every single year, I actually have an issue with. That just doesn't feel fair, right? I expect those songs, everybody to be listening to those songs. That doesn't make it... I mean, in a way, you could say, oh, that's because it's really good that it is going to chop the charts, right? But a lot of Christmas songs, I find, are what we call niche songs. Like, it's could be really, really good song, but only for, like, a season, right? Like, I wouldn't want to hear All I Want for Christmas Is You in fucking, I don't know, July. Christmas in July. Fuck off. But yeah, at least it's at number 55 and not around here. You have a batch of other ones like Rocking Around the Christmas Tree at number 60. I get that. Morgan Wallen and Luke Combs still taking up a lot of these other spots. Really good. Rihanna would Lift Me Up. Really? Rihanna actually fucking released a track. Wow. Ed Sheeran is actually on the end of the year tracks with his album Minus, I think it was, right? The yellow one. Eyes Closed. I actually didn't like his newest album. I thought that... was it Multiply or was it Plot? No, it was Multiply, right? With Bad Habits and... what the fuck is the other one? Shivers. Those were two really good tracks for that one. That was the Multiply, right? Because I know Divide brought you Shape of You, all of that. Plus was a while ago. I think that brought out... I can't remember. Perfect and stuff. I think that was part of the Plus. So this album was Minus, right? Very creative names for albums, by the way. Very, very creative names. Plus, minus, subtract, divide. Actually, I think it was subtract, not minus. But it would sound better if it was minus. But yeah. Nothing, as we're scrolling through number 70 and beyond, there's nothing really great. Bad Bunny isn't really topping their charts on that. And they did. They made a whole lot of hype about him. Really, Billie Eilish over here at number 81. That's the first one that I'm seeing him here. And then the rest of these charts on here, nothing really standing out as we get to number 100. Wow. Bloody Mary. Remember how that one blew up, right? With the show Wednesday by with Jana Ortega. That's how that song blew up. And that was the take on Bloody Mary. Actually, that was the track played in that one by Lady Gaga. It only reached number 99 on the year-end charts. I'm like, wow. Right? So that is very, very interesting. Those are the top 100 songs of 2023. And some of those surprised me how they shifted from the last chart that we did, right? So we're also going to quickly go back over the Billboard Artist 100. Some of these haven't changed from the last list, but some of them have, right? So number one spot. Oh wait, this was a week of December 2023. That's right. This was the last one that we did. Yeah, so top 100 artists. I was like, oh yay, I have an update to that. But no, it's as of December 30th. So yeah, Taylor Swift, Morgan Wallen, Nicki Minaj with that one, Drake, all of that stuff. But no, those The year at charts, Morgan Wallen, Miley Cyrus somehow making number two, Kill Bill, and then Taylor Swift. Or sorry, no, Saw actually reaching number three. Those are your top three artists according to the year end charts. So, interesting year for 2023. Some success, I think, a lot of failure, right? And I just think that that was not a proper balance of song to song. As I mentioned in part one, again, I know that I mentioned that a lot. The artists that I mentioned that should have been on the track still weren't there. Like Ava Max's Diamond and Dance Floor beats out a lot of these tracks on here, and it could have been a top five song in there. She would have had to have competed with Taylor Swift, though, which I think she would have beaten out, in my opinion. But really, really good. Actually, she would have had to compete with Dua Lipa, actually, on that one, but I think her tracks were a little bit better. With that one, I mentioned the artist Fozia. We're not really going to touch onto that one because I'm going to give her through 2024 to really get up on that one. Also, speaking of Dua Lipa, Houdini. Well, Houdini was a very, very late track. Like, that was like a month ago, maybe, when that track released. So I'm not surprised, but I would have thought that that track would have blown up a whole lot more. That would have been a year-end chart because I've seen songs that were released that late in the year and charted the tops at the end of the year, right? So I'm surprised. I would not be surprised if we see Houdini on the Billboard 100 early 2024, if not at the on the year end of 2024, assuming nobody tries to beat that out. Like, that's too good of a song for it not to be ignored. If it doesn't chart at all between now and the end of 2024, we're gonna have some issues with the music industry. I'm gonna take a step back and be like, yo, this is kind of fucked up, right? With that, so those are my thoughts really on this. It's a lot of surprise with how things turned out. There were some hit songs, there was a lot of trash, and I think it was actually a lot of balance, but the placements of these ones on that did not reflect that balance. It was all sorts of wishy-washy. I respect Morgan Wallen being up on there on that chart. So you've been taking the number one year-end chart slots at number one. I respect that, but a lot of the other ones on here, like Flowers came out of nowhere to number two on the year-end charts, when every chart that I see, that was not even a top 10 pick on there. So it seems like we're like picking favorites over here at Billboard. What the fuck are you doing, right? So let me know what your thoughts are. I'm gonna set up a Q&A and you tell me your most, what artists were you most surprised to see on the charts here after doing this redo? I know on part one I said, which artists would you have liked to have seen? But, yeah. Let me know this. And my name is Craig Lane. You can follow me on YouTube at Craig Lane. Or type in any sort of DJ Tripwire remix, that stuff. That channel will pop up. Also, follow me on Instagram at DJ_Tripwire_. And you should be able to find me there as well. If you want to follow me and my journey through music on that one, stay tuned here. I plan to continue these podcasts. I'm trying to get together a lot of information for the other topics that I'm wanting to do. Right? So I hope you all have a great 2024, and I hope 2024 is good for all of us music-wise, and I will see you guys in the next one.